and we're discussing Birchas HaTorah, and definitely when you're talking about Birchas HaTorah, you can't ignore, you can't not at least mention at some point the Gemara Nedarim, Pei Aleph, the famous Gemara Nedarim, says, quotes a pasuk, Mi Aisha Chacham V'Yavin Ezos. Davar Zeh Nishal L'Chachamim V'L'Nevi'im V'Lo Pirshuhu. The Chachamim, the Nevi'im, they were asked, why did the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, Chorban Bayis Rishon, why did it happen? Such a horrible, devastating destruction to the Jewish people. They couldn't, looking at the Jewish people and where they were holding, they just couldn't figure out why would it be that such a horrible calamity would befall them. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself was able to reveal to them. What does it mean they left my Torah? But they were learning Torah. Gemara says, "Hainu lo halchav Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav she'ein mevarchim b'Torah tchila." That they weren't making Birchas HaTorah. They weren't making a bracha on the Torah before they learned it. And that came with the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. So how are we meant to understand that? There's another Gemara that says that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of the big three sins: Gilei Arayos, Avodah Zarah, Shvichas Damim. So what they didn't see that people were doing Gilei Arayos, Avodah Zarah, Shvichas Damim. So the pshat that's set over is that, yeah, a bunch of them were, but most of them weren't. Most of the Jewish people weren't doing that. Nobody would have thought that just because of the minority of people that might have been involved, one of those big three, that would bring about Golos, basement that's being destroyed, such a horrible destruction. Why didn't all the other tzaddikim that lived at the time, why didn't they protect the sins of the people? So, because their Torah, why wasn't able to protect the sins of the people? Because their Torah was lacking in that they didn't make Birchas HaTorah before the Torah. That's why their Torah didn't protect everybody else. The Bach explains that. The Bach says that, you know, the Beis HaMikdash is the kesher between this world and the upper world. And Torah learning is meant to be a connection between this world and the upper world. Since they were lacking in the connection between this world and the upper world, in their not making Birchas Torah, they showed a lack of appreciating what it was that they were doing, a lack of kesher with Shemayim. So that played itself out in the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, which was our kesher to Shemayim. And Rav Yisrael Salanter explains, and then we'll start the bracha. Rav Yisrael Salanter explains that when do we find that we don't make a bracha on something? So on a hechsher mitzvah, you don't make a bracha. When there's a mitzvah that's just to prepare, when you're doing something that's just a preparation for the mitzvah, you don't make a bracha on it. Like when you're making a shofar, you don't make a bracha on the making of the shofar. When you're building a sukkah, you don't make a bracha on the building of the sukkah. When you're tying your lulav together, you don't make a bracha on the tying the lulav together. You make a bracha on the tilas lulav, and when you take it, on yeshiva b'sukkah, on tkiya shofar. So if they weren't making a bracha on Birchas HaTorah, that means that they looked at the Torah as just a means to understand what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do. Torah, that was the function of learning Torah, to know what you could and can't do. But they weren't looking at it and realizing or treating it like it was a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. And really, Talmud Torah is a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. It's deserving and right to be making a bracha on it. It's not just a hachana for a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah itself. And when do we say asher kedishanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu? Only when it's a mitzvah itself, not when it's a hechsher mitzvah. So it wasn't makadish the tzaddikim enough, since they weren't looking at it and treating it like a b'fnei atzma. So it wasn't, you couldn't say on it asher kedishanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu, and therefore it didn't protect them from the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Yesterday we said that the makor for Birchas HaTorah, the Gemara and Brachos brings down, is what Moshe Rabbeinu said right before Parshas HaZinu, Kishem Hashem Ekra, when I call out the name of Hashem and I teach you the Torah, Havu Godel Alokeinu, and say Birchas HaTorah. So you could ask the question, what, that was the first thing Moshe Rabbeinu learned that day? You're not allowed to learn without making Birchas HaTorah. So Moshe hadn't learned yet before he taught them Parshas HaZinu. All the Jewish people, nobody there had learned yet, that now they're chayav in Birchas HaTorah before Parshas HaZinu. So the Gemara Yerushalmi says that we see from over there that Birchas HaTorah is only the Oraisa when you're teaching it to the masses. So when Moshe Rabbeinu was about to teach it to the masses, then he made the Birchas HaTorah. When each individual, each yachid, makes Birchas HaTorah in the morning, the Gemara Yerushalmi says that's only Midurabanan. If you hold like that, it's a machlokas whether we hold that Birchas HaTorah in the morning is Deraisa Derabanan when you're just making it by yourself. So if you hold like that, then the Birchas HaTorah, that you make a Kriyas HaTorah on Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos, that would be Deraisa, because that's you reading it to the masses. So that bracha would be Deraisa, and the bracha you made in the morning by yourself would have been Derabanan. But if you say not at Yerushalmi, like some poskim don't pass at Yerushalmi, so they would say that no, you really you're already yotze yochia berachas Torah daraisa on your own brachas in the morning, and the berachas Torah that you do at Kriyas Torah, that's just for the cover of the tzibur that we make them again. We don't find by any other mitzvah three brachos on it. Here we have three brachos in Berachas Torah. We have Asher Kedeshanu Mitzvos of Lasok B'Divrei Torah. We have Bahar Evna. And we have Asher Bachar Banu. What's the idea behind the fact that we have three separate brachos on Berachas Torah? So the Levush, who was at the time of the Shulchan Aruch, he explained like this. We know there are three types of brachos in general. All brachos that exist can be fit into one of the following three categories. There's Berachas HaShevach, there's Berachas HaMitzvos, and there's Berachas Nehanim. Berachas Nehanim is before you get a map from something, you have to make a bracha like Shahakol. And Mizonos, Berachas HaShevach is you see something unbelievable, amazing, you see an ocean, you see massive mountains, you hear thunder, you see a rainbow. So there's different brachos, Berachas HaShevach, where you're Meshabach Hashem for these wondrous things. And you also have Berachas HaMitzvos before doing a mitzvah. So Torah, because of what a high level and great thing that it is, fits into all the categories, and then Mesakim, both a Berachas HaShevach, a Berachas HaMitzvos, and a Berachas Nehanim on Torah. So Asher Kedeshanu Mitzvosev Tzivanu Lasok B'Divrei Torah, that's a Berachas HaMitzvos. Asher Kedeshanu Mitzvosev, that's a Berachas HaMitzvos. This Talmud Torah is a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo. The Harivna is a little bit different than it's a Berachas Nehanim, but it's different than a regular Berachas Nehanim, because not everybody right away gets Hana when they're learning Torah. Just listen to a lot of the Shana Aleph kids, they're not necessarily getting Hana. So we're asking Hashem that we should get Hana. Let me get the Hana that's in the Torah. So it's a different type of Berachas Nehanim, because we're asking Hashem that I should be able to get Hana from the Torah that I'm about to learn, because you might not be about to go back and get Hana. And then Berachas Hashem b'kinnu mechom Asher Bachar banu mikol ha'amim, that's a Berachas HaShevach. We'll be mishabach and praising Hashem for this unbelievable opportunity that we have to be able to learn Torah. It's interesting. Well, just on the Harav now, before we get back to it later, we'll just like say a famous story that you probably heard before. There was once a bachar that came to Rosh Taiman. He wasn't learning, he wasn't into the learning. And he told his Rebbe, could you bring me to the Gadol HaDor? He brought him to Rosh Taiman. And he said to Rosh Taiman, Rosh Taiman, you know, barely ate anything every day. And his main meal, I think, was like a bunch of dry breadcrumbs mixed into a teeny cup of milk. And he would just drink or whatever. He barely ate anything. So the Talmud said to him, he said, does a Rav like steak? So he said, no. And the guy that brought him, like the Rebbe, was like all like embarrassed, like, hey, you're asking if you like steak? So he says, I love steak. I love steak. It tastes so good. I get very excited about steak. Does the Rav like learning Torah? Yeah. So the Rav likes learning Torah. So the Rav learns Torah. I like steak. So I eat steak. So everyone was like quiet, like waiting to see what Steinemann would say. So he said, is honey sweet? So he said, yeah. And let's say somebody would taste honey and they would say, it's not sweet at all. It's terrible. It's not sweet at all. What would you say about that person? The kid thought, he said, let's say he's crazy. He's a shota. So Steinemann said, maybe, but also it could be that he has wounds in his mouth. There's all type of canker sores and cuts, and if he's not able to taste things properly, everything tastes not good to him, it hurts him. So if he would get those wounds that are in his mouth cured, then he'll be able to taste the taste of the Torah. When a person speaks Dvarim B'Teilim and Lashon Hara and he speaks inappropriately, so that makes it, he's not able to taste the honey, the sweetness of the Torah. So one of the things we're asking for, we say Bahar of Na, to be able to taste the sweetness of the Torah, is that make my mouth to be able to be the type of mouth that could taste the sweetness of the Torah. Why is it that we say Asher Kedeshanu Mitzvos Tzivanu La'asok B'Divrei Torah? Why don't we say Lilmod Divrei Torah? The mitzvah is Limud Torah. So why don't we say Lilmod Torah? Why La'asok B'Divrei Torah? So three pshatim why we use the term La'asok. Lasok is the word asek. Asek is a business. So the Taz says that a person needs to learn Torah the way that he's involved in his business. That just like when you're involved in your business, you're completely invested in it. It takes up your mind and you think about it. And it completely fills your consciousness. That's how you're supposed to be involved in learning Torah Lasok, that it's like an asek, it's like a business for you. The Soda Avoda, the Slonim Rebbe, says that all he adds on to that, a business, you don't just leave as it is. You try to build your business. You try to branch out. You try to make it bigger. That it offers more things, that it brings in more money. So too, when you're learning Torah, you're meant not just you're supposed to want to expand upon it, be mechadesh, expound upon it, understand it, spread, you know, connect things to each other. The Bach, third pshat, the Bach says that the ikar mitzvah of limud Torah is when you're amel in the Torah, when you're toiling and working very, very hard in the Torah. And all the blessings that Torah brings about from it are specifically when you're being amel, when you're really toiling the Torah. Like we see in Parshas Bechukosai, it says, "Im Bechukosai Teilechu," then Kadosh Baruch Hu will give you all these brachos that the Parsha talks about. And Rashi says, "What's Im Bechukosai Teilechu? Shetiyu Amelim B'Torah." If you're amel in Torah, then all the brachos of Parshas Bechukosai and being a Parshas Bechukosai will befall you. We'll pick up from there. Thank you.